שלום חברים. ברוך הבא לכל מקשבים. This is Dr. Duff Forbes, Rabbi Kehilat HaMashiach B'toch Yisrael. Welcome, my friends, to this program entitled Treasures from Tanakh. My friends, I understand it was Sir Winston Churchill of Britain who, in World War II, originated the inspiring gesture, sign, and slogan, V for Victory. I also understand that this ingenious incentive was proving so sustaining and effective that the astute Hitler sought to nullify it by himself adopting it. When this useful psychological device passed into other hands, it would have been quite understandable if the British had forthwith abandoned it. But this would have been a tactical blunder, I am sure, a blunder into which the British did not fall. On the contrary, they retained tenaciously their original weapon, and it served them well. All this, my friends, by way of illustration and introduction to this present message, and because of its somewhat unusual character. As you know, I have entitled this series Treasures from Tanakh, and from my opening observations and your gracious previous attention to my discourses, I usually unfold the Tanakh to you and only refer to tradition where I think it may be of interest. On this occasion, however, I am going to reverse this procedure and unfold tradition to you, and only refer to Tanakh as being the prime source from which such tradition flows, or by means of which such tradition may be refined and purified. In my last message, we spent some enjoyable moments together probing the symbolical mysteries of the cherubim and the Shekhinah glory of the God of Israel in association with the kaporet, or cover, of the Ark of the Covenant, which rested in the Holy of Holies within the Mishkan, the tabernacle in the wilderness. I introduced to your notice our essentially Jewish expression, Shekhinah, and indicated its origin and justification. It is on this fascinating theme of the Shekhinah that I invite you now to accompany me through some of the strata of Jewish tradition. Derived from the Hebrew root shachon, meaning to dwell, the designation Shekhinah was intended to connote the divine glory in manifestation of the personal presence of the eternal God. Whatever may be the attitude adopted, or imposed, or both, upon our human Jewish theology, an impartial study of our Jewish tradition will reveal, I am convinced, that it bestowed upon the Shekhinah those attributes which surely can only belong to intelligent personality. Allow me to parade before you, ever so briefly, a sample succession of these traditions, so that you yourselves may take the salute, as it were, and pass your own judgment upon the cavalcade. Speech is surely an attribute of personality, and our tradition declares that lest our father Jacob should feel apprehensive regarding the prophesied Egyptian bondage, the Shekhinah addressed Jacob, calling his name twice in token of love and reassuring him of the ultimate exodus. A kiss is surely the exclusive bestowal of personality, and tradition quaintly affirms that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Aaron, and Miriam these six and these six only, ended their days on earth not by the angel of death, but the Shekhinah who took each of these six souls with a kiss. Instruction not to sit upon a red-hot stove may undoubtedly come with the experience, but one could scarcely declare that the stove itself employed volition and intelligence in the tutelage. No, indeed, volition and intelligence belong to personality, and our tradition records that in reply to a question as to the purpose of the tabernacle, Moses said it was built that God may let his Shekhinah rest therein and so teach the Torah to his people Israel. The exchange of mutually intelligent conversation is again the prerogative of personality. And among those whom tradition declares held converse with the Shekhinah is our great teacher, Moses, who, when Isaac allegedly affirmed he was greater than Moses, made reply to Isaac in these words, "Still I am superior to thee, for thou didst indeed behold the face of the Shekhinah, but thine eyes grew dim, whereas I talked with the Shekhinah face to face, and yet neither did mine eyes grow dim, nor my strength wane." That is the end of the quotation. Now, my friends, even the above will convince you not only of the attributes of personality, but I am persuaded you have detected already a certain quality of personality which lifts it above the ordinary, even that realm which transcends the natural. View this further procession of Jewish traditional classics. It was the Shekhinah who destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, and the beholding of whom turned Lot's wife into a pillar of salt. The Shekhinah is a divine agent in creation, and Moses was taught that not even the fiery thorn bush, from the midst of which the Eternal had spoken, had come into being apart from the Shekhinah. We have recently considered the Edenic tree of life in relation to the cherubim and the Shekhinah, and it is therefore interesting to note that tradition says that when God drove Adam out from Eden's garden, the Shekhinah remained behind, enthroned above a cherub under the tree of life. Now, will you suffer just one or two more of these interesting antiquities? The temple was incapable of destruction so long as the Shekhinah dwelt in it, but gradually the Shekhinah withdrew from between the cherubim and returned to heaven via the Mount of Olives, and thus both temple and the holy city became vulnerable. Galut HaShekhinah, an expression meaning the exile of the Shekhinah, is a well-known Jewish traditional expression which conveys the picturesque idea that the Shekhinah shares Israel's exile, and not until the redemption of Israel will the Shekhinah return to the Holy City. Who is this divine personality reflected by Jewish traditional deposits down the ages? Is it the Messiah that is thus personalized? No, not the Messiah, for tradition also declares that Moses, on the day of his death, was permitted to meet the Messiah in heaven. Moses beheld God built a temple of jewels and pearls, through which, outshining the jewels, blazed forth the glory of the Shekhinah, and in this temple, in the presence of the Shekhinah, Moses beheld David's son, the Messiah, who assured Moses that the temple would be built on earth. Since this personality is not Mashiach, the Messiah, whom then does tradition depict? Let tradition itself supply the answer. When Isaac, in his advanced age and imperfect sight, wished to bless his older son Esau before his death, he called in Esau, but tradition declares that the Holy Spirit spoke to him, saying, "Though Esau should disguise his voice and make it sound sweet, do not rely upon him." But because Isaac was spiritually blind as well as physically blind, the Holy Spirit departed from him. Who is this Holy Spirit? None other than the Shekhinah, who, according to another Jewish legend, deserted Isaac earlier because of Isaac's alleged lack of paternal love and did not return to him until the day of his death. My friends, a defective mirror reflects distorted images, yet it is the mirror which is at fault and not the object reflected. Just so, man's unenlightened imagination is too unreliable a medium to reflect accurately images of divine truth. Yet the very presence of the image itself, however distorted, is evidence of the actual existence of the perfect object so imperfectly reproduced. Eliminating distortion, what, then, does our Jewish tradition mirror? Why, undoubtedly, the divine personality of the Holy Spirit and the pre-existence of the Messiah, the true reflection of which can be found in the perfect mirror, the Tanakh. Why then cannot these gems of revealed truth, these treasures from Tanakh, be readily found in modern Jewish theology? Remember the illustration I gave you about Sir Winston Churchill's V for Victory stimulus? Well, we just didn't follow the example of the British. This is a trifle subtle, I admit, and makes some thinking out for you, but it will be worth the effort. Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'hunecha, Yisar Adonai panav elecha v'yaseim lecha shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.